Wolfing Down Food Science.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Wolfing Down Food Science. We're here today with Dr. Katie Maloney. Paige, tell us more.
We're excited to have Katie with us. So I don't know about you guys, but sometimes the amount of healthy, quote, information out there can feel a little overwhelming and what to do with it. What is healthy living? Is it possible that some of the advice for healthy living could be having the opposite effect on us? That's exactly the question that author Dr. Katie Maloney, who is our guest today, is asking in her new book, The Healthy Living Paradox, How to Determine If Your Healthy Diet and Home Are Making You Sick. As a graduate from NC State University's Department of Food, Bioprocessing, and Nutrition Sciences, Katie used science to take a unique approach to finding her own version of healthy living. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thanks for inviting me on the podcast.
We're excited to hear about your new book and a little bit about you, too. Can you tell us about your background in food science and health?
Yes. I did not know food science existed until I was at NC State. I started as a business major and very quickly switched into the science area. I took Dr. Sarah Ash's Introduction to Nutrition class as an elective when I was a business major and absolutely loved it. I felt like I had found what I needed to be studying, whereas business was a little confusing to me. The science made sense. And so I ended up doing biological sciences with a nutrition concentration as my undergraduate major, and then did nutrition and food science for a master's, and then switched all the way over to food science for a PhD. And I was in Dr. John Allen's lab, so I studied sweet potatoes and the nutraceutical effects of various compounds within that sweet potato, and really focused, even though I was food science, kind of keeping that nutrition side in things as I was doing my research. So lots of fun at NC State. I met some great people. We had a wonderful lab, all helping each other. So just really good experience overall at NC State. And then I did an internship at Novozymes while I was doing my PhD. And love that atmosphere too. I felt like it was a nice family environment too. Everyone was very connected. You could talk to anyone, ask questions. Everybody was helpful and wanting each other to succeed. And so I decided I wanted to work for Novozymes. So I set that as my goal and ended up working in their baking group as my first job. So doing technical service. And from there, moved a little bit more into the nutrition side again. So the job that was available at first was baking, but once mm-hmm. The nutrition position opened up, I moved into that, also staying in technical service though. And then eventually went into innovation, business development, just wanted to try a bunch of different things. I always like new challenges. And I am actually in sales now. So I've made it to all different kinds of things to try, and always customer facing with a science background at the core though.
It sounds like you've come full circle. Like you started as business, decided that you really liked science more, took a path in science, and then came sort of back to business with keeping that science involved. Like that's such a great story.
Yes. Yes. And business did not make sense to me in college. Now it makes a little sense, enough sense that I can do it. But I still think science is a lot more clear.
So I remember early on trying a batch of lactose-free vanilla ice cream that you made, which was amazing, just delicious with that lactase enzyme technology. So really good stuff. So Katie, we're here to talk a bit more about your book, and that was born out of your health journey. So can you share that journey about how your health has been impacted by your research and application of scientific literature?
Yes. So I ended up really sick when I thought I was following healthy habits. And they were healthy habits, but just not healthy for me in particular because of my food sensitivities. And so I kind of glossed over it a little bit when I was telling about my fun career, but I had a point in that career where I had to switch jobs because I couldn't travel. I missed 3 trips in a row. The first 2, I didn't even make it to the airport. The 3rd one, I got to the airport, realized I couldn't board the plane. I was in too much pain and had to go back home. I had a wonderful manager at that point. I didn't have a diagnosis or anything then. For a while, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew that I was tired all the time. I was in pain all the time. My digestive system was a mess. I was losing weight, couldn't keep food in me. So just pretty much all these things were going wrong while I was doing what I thought was the right things. So my manager ended up helping me find a different job that I could be not traveling for so that I could really try and figure things out. In doing that, I was reading all kinds of articles, different books. I was trying to do my own research because I would go to doctors and all my blood work was fine. I basically was told everything's normal. We don't know why you're feeling like you're having so many problems. So maybe it's that you're just getting older. I just had a baby. So I was told your body changes. These things might be normal. Just all these different reasons that didn't feel like the actual reason to me. And I was doing my own research. I came across different things about food sensitivities. I read a book about the immune system, which was really helpful. And that had me seek out an immunologist because after reading the book, I decided something was wrong with my immune system. And that's when I finally did get a diagnosis that I had a rare autoimmune disease. But that still didn't feel like it was the end. I didn't want to accept that that was the reason I was going to feel bad forever. And so that really, at least having the diagnosis of autoimmune helped me to figure out where to even search. Because I was starting off with a huge range of things to read, and at least autoimmune narrowed it down. And I read about different diets that had helped people. And some people were helped on going to a completely plant-based diet. And other people said carnivore was what had healed them. And there are all these different things. Some people took out dairy and then they felt better. But if I actually followed everything, I wouldn't have anything to eat. So I had to figure out what was right for me. And that's what brought me back to my science and scientific method days and really starting to experiment on myself of what was good for me, what was bad for me, and keeping an open mind, because it turned out that some of the things I was eating that were supposed to be healthy, like spinach and almonds and beets, were actually what was causing a lot of my issues because I have an oxalate sensitivity.
Well, that is quite the journey of dealing with your own personal issues, but at the same time, sort of being forced into a corner where you had to figure it out. And sounds like your education and your experience as a scientist really lent itself to helping you figure out what was going on and how to go about it scientifically. So how did you decide to take the next step and actually write your book?
That was a really difficult decision because I had been very private about my health struggles when I was going through them. And even after I was starting to do better, I wasn't open. If somebody asked me questions or noticed that I was doing better and asked me what I was doing, I would share everything. But I didn't just go out and tell people that I'm feeling bad or that I'm starting to do this and I'm feeling better. And the book actually is very personal. I go through my entire story. And the reason I decided to do that is because I knew if I was not telling people that I was sick, there are probably other people out there that are feeling the same way and not telling people to be able to get help. I wanted to offer a hope that you can have a really bad diagnosis. I mean, I was really scared by my diagnosis, but you don't have to just give in. You can do some things to reduce your symptoms and maybe feel a lot better. I'm a completely different person than I was when I was struggling so much. But it was really about wanting to increase awareness of how much diet and environment play in how we feel and give people back some control over their health.
I feel like lots of people want that, right? I feel like people kind of have a loose understanding of it, but I think the point of your book is that everybody is different. Yes. And so reading, you know, about broad categories sometimes is not as helpful, because like you said, when you try to implement everything, then you don't have anything to eat, right? Like, so you need to understand the methodology of how to implement what's good for you. And I think that's just an amazing journey. And I think it's incredibly brave to share it, because it's hard. It's hard to feel bad, and it's hard to relive that publicly in a book. So,
yes.
So Katie, I'll join Paige and say thank you for sharing your story. I was just mentioning to Katie before we started recording, her book was my first Kindle purchase. So just finished the book. I was curious, as a scientist, was it challenging to write this book for a non-scientific audience about a scientific approach to health?
It was not as difficult as you might expect, because I'd actually been talking about science to a wide range of people for the past about 13 years in my various roles. So being in technical service, I would be talking to both the scientists and the marketing teams and anybody else at the company that needed to hear about our concepts. So I've been practicing the skill of translating science into easily understandable information for a while now. And that, I think, really helped with the book. It's funny, because it's not the book I would want to read, but it's the book that the average audience, I think, wants to read, because I want to know all the scientific details. So that was the more difficult part, was keeping some of the science out of it so that I didn't overwhelm people and they could just get the perspective shift. Because that's what the book is more about, is a new way of thinking. And then if you agree and want to pursue the way of thinking, you go into the scientific details of the different stressors.
That's awesome. So that kind of leads into your catchphrase, flourish with science. Can you explain that philosophy a little bit to us?
Yes. So it basically means that you want to test on yourself in order to figure out what helps you to feel better. Mm-hmm. So the science part refers to the scientific method, which is very much intertwined with what I talk about in the book. So I do break it down into three steps that are a little less overwhelming than going through the scientific method, but identifying potential stressors, taking charge, and then trusting your inner scientist. And in doing that, you're observing, you're asking questions, you're running a test on yourself to figure out the outcome, and then you're being okay with the results of that test. So that's one of the struggles. I now tell people, I don't eat spinach, I don't eat almonds. And to a lot of people, that's going to sound crazy. Why would I feel better not eating these healthy foods? But you have to trust the results that came from your own body.
That's an excellent point, that, you know, I think sometimes we push back on things because we don't want it to be that way.
Yes.
Right. So there's a lot of denial in it. So I guess you do have to be open to objectively sort of recording how you feel and thinking about how you feel and being honest with yourself in order to get to that place of feeling better.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a mental mind shift.
You know, when I was reading the book, I was thinking about when my friend and I were running together. He would get cramps all the time, and he carried this big backpack full of water. And when we came back from our run, he would literally have this sort of coating of salt. So I could literally see that he was losing electrolytes. And if it was less than 10 miles, I didn't carry water. So it was so different. We were doing the same run, same distance, same speed. But he needed a whole different set of support than I needed. So just completely different. So just kind of interesting to see how different physiologies can be for exactly the same task, this running that we were doing in Umstead Park. But Katie, you know, it sounds to me like your book is using, or your approaches of Flourish with Science is really using this clinical trial catchphrase, which is called the N of one clinical trial, where each individual goes with a specific set of treatments that work for them. So is that kind of the approach that you're using? An N of one clinical trial?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going with. So it's very much test different foods, test different environmental sensitivities, and figure out which ones are actually affecting you. It doesn't matter what affects other people. It only matters what affects you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So have you done this with other people besides yourself?
Yes. So I started off just helping family members and friends, and then they were seeing good results too. So I was using the same process with everybody, but the sensitivities were different. And so that's what made me actually make it into a full process, because it was working for different people. It's just the answer was different. And once I started helping friends and family, then friends would tell friends, and I got a few more people asking for help. And that's also part of why I wrote the book, because I do have a full-time job. So it's not that I can just go and help everybody, even though I would like to. So trying to get that message out there that this is something you can do. You can experiment on yourself. You can figure out what's wrong and find the wellness plan that's right for you.
So Katie, other than Kindle, which we know we can find your book on Kindle, other than Kindle, where can people find your book? And if they have questions, can they contact you about those questions?
Yes. So I also have a paperback on Amazon. Everything is on Amazon. That's the only place for the book. But I also have a website. So there is a contact form on the website. It's flourishwithscience.com. And anyone can contact me through that, and I will get back to them.
Great.
That's awesome. Are you planning to write more books, or is this a one-off, like for now at least? What's in the future?
For now, I am not planning to write more books, but who knows it? I could find something else that's interesting to write about later. I am working on an online course, though, as a follow-up to the book. So I want to go into more detail about all the different food and environmental stressors to help people actually start finding theirs. So since the book is more about introducing the concept and the way of thinking, there is a next step of how do you figure out within that which stressors are affecting you. So I'm going through, here are the different foods that are normally high in oxalates. Here are the different ones that are histamine triggers or have a lot of lectins, just all the different categories. And then same thing with environment. Here are some symptoms of mold in your house, and some things that are creating high EMFs. All the different areas to look into. So if someone likes the approach that they're reading in the book, then they can really dive deep into the more science side of it, of what to look for and how to test.
So Katie, could you define EMF for us, just for our listeners who may not be familiar?
Yes. So it's electromagnetic fields. And there are some people who are actually really sensitive to wireless technology or electricity, and especially if it's more than average levels. So I've had some clients where they have their wireless router maybe under their bed just because that's out of the way, and it's not, no one, people don't think about that being a problem. And then you turn that off or move it, and all of a sudden they're sleeping better. There are different things in your environment that are, I would consider, hidden, because I mean, I didn't think about any of that. I didn't think about mold. I didn't think about EMS, different chemicals. I used all kinds of cleaners that I just assumed I'm cleaning my house. I'm going to have a healthy home because it's clean. And then some people react to specific chemicals within cleaners. So it's just, it's all very individual. And when you're not feeling well, I consider everything suspect until you know otherwise, whether you're fine with it.
This seems very much like sort of a reverse engineering way of going about finding what's healthy for you versus the TikTok approach, which is everyone should do X, Y, and Z and eliminate this or turn off your router and do, you know. And it doesn't affect everybody the same way. So making these broad-based claims often leads to so much confusion and misinformation. So, Katie, I love this approach that you're taking. And obviously, it's done wonders for you. So it's great that you have decided to share it and share your journey.
Thank you.
Katie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, Katie.
If you'd like to find out more about our podcast, Wolfing Down Food Science, please check us out at NCSU's Food Bioprocessing and Nutrition Science website, where you can find our show notes, reference links, and more. You can find out more about NC State, our department, and FS201, the amazing course that has brought us all together, on our website as well. Please don't forget to subscribe to Wolfing Down Food Science wherever you stream your podcasts like Spotify and iTunes. Thanks for tuning in to Wolfing Down Food Science. See you next time.